You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Caring for you, and they take the time at their own expense to come down once a year and visit with us, visit with the people here. Derek will go with me to where we're going. He's gone with me to the jail, and I didn't know of him being from Oklahoma, if they would let him out or not, but they did. But anyhow, we're so glad to have them. They're going to be with us and fellowship with us a couple of days, and we appreciate that. On that table back there, we have a lot of different things, and they're all free. We have a little pamphlet that's called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now? Some of you were saved here at the rec room. Some of you were saved in incarceration. And pick up one of those. They're free. It's about, and you can sit down in the quietness of your room or apartment and with your Bible and go over the plan, that plan of salvation. What God said about it. Not what I said about it. Not what somebody else said about it. But what God said about it. Same thing about the life that we're to live. Bible tells us that we're in a warfare, that we fight against some invisible things, some powers that are unreal. And if you think being a Christian's a sissy, you've just never been saved. Because I'm going to tell you, it is a warfare. Because we still have some folks that are looking for jobs, and they're going to find one here because everybody's working. But if you happen to know somebody that's hiring, would you leave their name? And if you know the guy to talk to at the table before you leave, because we got some folks that just got out of jail. We got some people just getting out of prison that are looking for a job. And we want to help them get jobs. And so if you'll just leave that with Linda there, then we'll be in good shape. That will help them. And y'all that are looking for a job, hang around a little bit tonight. Don't just up and run off, and then check with them before you leave. Because I know that there are people in here that you're working for somebody's hiring. And you know somebody that's hiring. So just, if you would, leave that at the desk. Breakfast here at this church, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. Again, thank you for being here. Brother Charles is going to come and sing for us. And you did a great job singing. Thank you.
I want you all to welcome our hot guitar player. Where's your guitar, man? We got Aaron back here playing the hot guitar. He got a beautiful guitar back there. He plays with us once in a while. We just love it when he does. We're going to do a song that you may know all the words, and if you do or don't, you're welcome to sing with us. Even on the chorus, it's an old song called Jesus Hold My Hand. As I travel through this building, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. He's the Christ of Calvary. This will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light. Jesus, hold my hand, I need you. setting of the sun. Lead me safely to that land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in you, dear Lord, and I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you can't do that because you don't have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we'll get you a Bible. Anybody need a Bible? All right, we got some that need Bibles. All right, very good. We got a bunch over here? Okay. While we're getting that done, we're a culture that has all kinds of knowledge at our fingertips. We've got the World Wide Web. We can Google up about any answer. We've got Twitter and Facebook and mobile apps and news feeds and more knowledge and less wisdom than any group of people I think I've ever met. We have all kind of degrees, and we're some of the stupidest folks. I don't know how we're coming out of the rain sometime. We've been teaching for years that man evolves and comes from some animal or something. I got a pretty good idea what animal he'd come from. Yeah. It's a little smaller than a mule. But we have, we've got all this. Do you know people on poverty level in America all have cell phones? Flat screen TVs. Yeah. Now they're going to have that whether they got milk for the kids to drink or not. We got to have, that's necessity in America. I mean, how else are we going to watch them stupid shows? You know, we don't have much meaning anymore. In fact, kind of Barna, which is one of the largest research groups that there is, and I got on there, got them on the internet, put them on where I could get their material. And they just completed a survey that was kind of interesting about how people felt about life in America. These are all Americans. And they found out three things. Number one, two-thirds of the people feel that this modern life in which we live is too fast. And it's too complex. Well, it has been for me a long time. We're in the internet. I was talking to somebody the other day. I go back when I was a little kid, when I was a little boy, we had a cream separator. And we would milk the cows. And in front of them, there was a big old bowl up the top, a metal bowl, and we poured that cream in that thing and turned this crank, and there were two spouts and pure cream came out of one and skim milk came out of the other. I never did learn how that worked. I never did get past that. But now we've got everything. We've got all kinds of things, and if we don't have them yet, we've got them on the drawing table. And but everybody said, two-thirds of all of the people, all the adults, said life is too complex. Number two, people want to be culturally informed. We all want to know what's going on. But this was interesting. They want to be culturally informed, but they want to do it in a short form. Every one of them said books were too long. What was it? One guy said real men don't read directions. The third one was probably the most interesting because it dealt, so people are looking beyond the facts and the information and asking, what does it mean to my life? What is going on in my life and what does it mean to my life? 3/4 of all the adults in America are looking for what they called a meaningful life, whatever that means to each of them. A meaningful life, because they're lonely, they're unhappy. We are surrounded with more people and with more loneliness. Right before I come in, my son called me to tell me about a brother-in-law. They just killed himself. And lonely. Had a love go bad. Have you ever wondered how miserable a person would have to be to try to take his own life? And as a chaplain, I went to jail, and when I get calls sometime because somebody's trying to take their life. And they'll call me to come out and visit with them. And the first question I ask anymore is, if you'd have been successful, where would you be now? Think about that. See, you're not roadkill. That's the way we're raising everybody. That's what they're teaching in school, that we just came from an animal and I guess passing through. Nobody's ever seen that. But we'd rather believe that than believe there's a God. Because, see, if we can wipe out God, then there's no judgment. Okay? And if there's a judgment, there's a judge. That doesn't take an Einstein to figure that out, does it? And if there's a judge, there's going to be some penalties and there's going to be some rewards. And there's a new group that all these research people are talking about. They're called the millennials. They're the 18 to 30-year-old crowd. They're called, and what is interesting about them, 90% of them, young people are supposed to have the world by the tail on. And everything is going good. They're just sitting on top of the world and letting their feet swing off. 90% of those kids said they want a more meaningful life. I think it's interesting because there's a whole book in the Bible written on this. In fact, the Bible itself was written about this. But if you'll turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, go to the book of Psalms, that's right in the middle of the Bible, and then next book is Proverbs, and right after it is the most depressing book in all the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. It was written by the wisest man that ever lived. It was written by the richest man that ever lived. It was written by the greatest womanizer that ever lived. He had 700 wives and 300 live-ins. Name what you want. This guy had it. He never went to a concert. He brought the concert to his place. This is what he had. You read the book. But in this book, with all these things that he had, popularity, all of that, The word vanity, meaning empty, is mentioned 79 times. 79 times in the Bible, 31 in the book Ecclesiastes. And the other little phrase he kept using is under the sun. All is vanity and vexation of spirit under the sun. And that's used 28 times. It's all he's talking about. But I'll start out with us here. Verse 1, chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. That's high as you can go. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. That's his conclusion of the whole matter as far as what he looks at. What profit, listen, what profit has a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. We live, we die, and somebody else takes our place, and things keep going on. It didn't make any difference how important you get. One guy told me one time, you get to thinking you real big shot. He said, stick your hand in a bucket of water, swirl it around and around as fast as you can, jerk it out and see how big a hole you left. Didn't leave any, did you? Hey. The earth also riseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about into the north, whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We want to got to see something else. We got to see one more. Something else. Show us. Excite us some more. Let us hear some more. We never get enough. The thing which hath been, he said, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. My. Look down in verse 14. I've seen all the works that are done in the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. As we go through in here and read, we're going to see there's nothing fair, there's nothing satisfying in most of our lives. Is about as progressive as riding a Ferris wheel at the carnival. That's about how far we go, and it's. And life is about as nutritious as cotton candy. We all end up at the bottom of the table. We're like a pinball. I don't care. You can bounce out there. We can go out there. We can go from bounce here and there, and all the bells and the whistles and the bright lights flashing. But you know where every pinball ends up? Hold at the bottom of the table then. One may last longer than the other, but they all end up at the same place. And this is what is frustrating. This thing of vanity is eating him up. Look at chapter 2 while we're here. Start with verse 11. He said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I'd labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. Try it all. For what can a man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath already been done. Then I saw that wisdom exceedeth folly as far as light exceedeth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. The wise man, just like a fool, comes a time it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even unto me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? We lose a loved one. We lose friends. And 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later, we never think about them. Happens to everybody in this life. All is vanity. Vexation is spirit. In fact, here's what he said, verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. Here's a guy that in chapter 2 will tell you that he's got everything he wanted. Everything. Money, music, women, farms, fruit, everything he wants. Prestige, popularity. And he said, therefore, I hated life. We live in a time when we have more luxuries and less happiness and joy. I'm not talking about the high of happiness, because it's always got a down to it. And when it's all over, we're miserable. We have no joy. We have no peace. He said, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Everything he tried, and he tried it all. He kept trying this and trying that. And everything he tried, it turned out miserable. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast. He said, we die just like an animal. We end up like the dog, the pet, the cat. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breast, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Look at chapter 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Money is never enough. Turn to chapter 8 and verse 10. My place here. Verse 11, chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You look around and here's somebody that's not very smart and doing well, and here's somebody that's brilliant and doing pathetic. Here's a guy that's trying to live right, do right, and everything goes wrong. Here's a guy that could care less about doing right and everything goes right. Life can be a bummer. And the Solomon is bent out of shape with it. Look at verse 14 in chapter 8. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said, this is also vanity. Everything seems to be backward. Nothing is fair. Look at, back at verse 10, chapter 8. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. How quick we forget. If you were asked to name the Heisman Trophy winner 5 years ago, could you name it? If you were asked to name the most valuable player in the American League 5 years ago, could you name it? Could you name the Kentucky Derby winner 5 years ago? Or the NBA champion 5 years ago? Or the mayor of Odessa? Let me ask you this. 5 years ago, could you tell me somebody that really helped you? Could you tell me somebody that was a friend to you? Could you tell me somebody that 5 years ago did you a good deed? Isn't it amazing that all these big shots we can't remember? They come and go. We ought to be able to remember that. Every year, we play what was considered, I remember the first Super Bowl ever played. It's going to be the greatest football team ever. The next year, we played Super Bowl II. Greatest football team ever. Really what they meant, greatest football team ever this year. Because next year, somebody else is going to do it. We didn't have a whole lot of repeats when they got rid of Lombardi. And I know he didn't win the Super Bowl but about one time, but he won the division time again. But what I'm saying, those things, that they just come and go because they're vanity. Nothing can we hang on to. Look back at chapter 1, verse 9, at that little old phrase, under the sun. And notice what he says there in verse 9. He said, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. We're doing the same old stuff. We got all this new stuff. We can't wait to get the newest computer. We can't wait to get another iPhone. We can't wait to get the one that's got this on it or that on it. We can't wait to get the next thing. And goodness, there's times when you get one that's already obsolete before you get a program. God said, ain't nothing new. Not one thing under the sun. Look at chapter 8, verse 17, concerning under the sun. He said, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. God's still doing stuff under the sun that man didn't know, can't find, can't figure it out. In chapter 9 and verse 11, he said, I saw the race. We read this one a while ago, but it deals with under the sun too, as well as with, he said that the race is not to the swift, battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance to happen to them all. He goes through this book because, see, Solomon never got above the sun. Everything was under the sun. Everything was under the S-U-N, and nothing's going to work till you get to the S-O-N. That happens to be above the sun. See? Nothing's going to work until Jesus Christ comes into the picture. You know why all's vanity here? He had everything that man ever wants, but he didn't have the one thing that every man needs. And that's Jesus Christ. One glimpse of heaven make mine in your life, regardless of what it's been, worth it all. Will you sing a song? It will be worth it all when we see Christ. And it will be. Because the only way that anything makes any sense Some of you said, and I've talked with some of you, said nothing makes any sense. It's frustrating. It doesn't until you get heaven involved in it. This earth is going to be burned up. God destroyed it one time with water. He's going to destroy it a second time with fire. But heaven will stand it all. See? Only in Jesus Christ can we find answer. You can't find it in the church. You can't find it in education. And I'm all for getting an education. I'm all for people playing sports. I think sports are good for children. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't. None of those things solve what Christ can do. I had a lady came to the office today to tell about new halfway house, Christian halfway house. They're going to start in Midland. And she asked about the rec room. And I said, we got two goals. I said, the first goal is to get people to help. If we help you get a job, if we got you a new Cadillac, if we bought you a new home and didn't tell you about Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, we're your biggest enemy. We haven't helped you at all. We're not even a friend to you. Don't run out and tell people, hey, he helped me get this or that. And then one day you look up and say, Leland, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? I said, that's the first goal. And if we don't do that, we're a failure, and we are people. Second thing is to try to help you live life successfully. And you can. We say it over and over again, and it's true as it can be, but nobody in here can do anything about our past. Goodness, it's on a computer somewhere, people. And I don't care if they told you that they was going to erase it. They didn't. They lied. They can pull you up. But the second thing is you can do everything about your future. You ever think about that? Do you ever think, I don't have to be stuck in vanity of vanities? Do you ever think that I don't have to keep getting beat around like a pinball? I don't have to do this. I can have something new and real in my life. I can do that because Jesus came and died on the cross for me. And that's the reason he came. He didn't come start a church. He started one, but that wasn't his purpose. He didn't come start a church. He didn't come start a Bible class. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, to get us to heaven. That's why he came first and foremost. All these other things are just little peripheral things that are in the goodie sack. He can help you make it. He can heal your body. He can heal your pocketbook. He can heal your job situation. He can heal your family problems. He can heal your relationships. He can heal your marriage. He can do all of those things if we'll just turn it over to him. Let him do it. I want you to bow your heads. We spend a lot of time talking about all this vanity from the Bible. Here's a man that had everything he wanted, and he was miserable and ended up miserable in his life. He did not have a happy life with all that he had. Tonight, you kind of understand that. There's some of you that are in that very position. Life is a bummer. I'm telling you what can change it. Jesus Christ in your heart. Not this church. Not anything. I can't. None of the people can. But Jesus Christ can. We're going to pray in a moment. And you say, Leland, pray for me that I would find this answer. that I would know that I was going to heaven from this day on. Would you pray for me for that? Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Would you just slip up your hand if you want me to pray for you? God bless you. I see your hands. I see yours. Yours. Yes, I see yours, hon. Yes, see yours and yours. They're all over the room. Yeah, God bless you. Slip them back down. Now, in a moment, Brother Charles is going to start singing. We're going to stand. We'll still have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And there'll be some people that will come to the front to help you know exactly what to do. That will share with you from the Bible, not our word, not their word, but God's word on how you can get to heaven. So that you can have the confidence that as you walk out of here, you'll be on the way to heaven. You'll be God's child. Let's stand at our feet and we're going to pray. Heads bowed, eyes still closed. Our Heavenly Father, please, please give us just the faith to trust you tonight. Father, we pray that you just open hearts. Father, we all know we're sinners. I would pray that the Holy Spirit convict people of sin, but goodness, this group doesn't do that. We need a brain transplant. We know that. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to have the courage and the faith to trust your Son, that he died for our sins. He was buried and rose again, according to Scripture, for our sins. And so, Father, we ask that you save souls tonight. Help them to come on the very first verse. In Christ's name we pray. With our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, Brother Charles, start out. You come on the very first verse, and there'll be somebody here to meet with you to help you know what to do. Come on. Just as you are. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to fix up anything. You don't have to change anything. You just need to come. Come on. Come on. Say this to you. What would it take? What do you need to get you to trust Jesus Christ? What else would God have to do? What else would Jesus have to do? You say you want to be saved? What else would it take for you just to step out and say, I take Jesus as my Savior. I put my faith and trust in Him and only Him. Would you come? We're going to play one verse. That's it. Whether you come or not, that's it. Brother Charles, one verse. Our Father, I've done you a sorry job tonight, and I apologize. I pray that those that didn't come will have another chance. I pray that your Holy Spirit would hover over them and burden their hearts till they run to you, till they flee to you, trying to flee the very flames of hell. Be with the people this week. Watch over them. Help us to glorify your name. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Refreshment bar is open. Thank you for being here.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.